Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, February 17th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Bitcoin is on a tear. The cryptocurrency traded above $50,000 for the first time yesterday. It's doubled in value in the past 2 months. But it's not just investors hoping to make some quick cash that's driving prices up. Bitcoin is also gaining some longer-term supporters.
We've seen a lot of companies that have started putting their faith in Bitcoin and saying, we're going to start holding a little bit of it. We've seen institutional investors and asset managers say, you know, Bitcoin's been around for, you know, more than 10 years now. We think that it could actually have a use case in portfolios, and so we're going to get exposure to Bitcoin.
Coming up, our reporter Caitlin Ostroff will explain all the factors pushing the price of Bitcoin higher and whether this is anything like the recent rallies in stocks like GameStop. That's after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Every day it seems that Bitcoin is reaching record territory, like Tuesday when it hit an intraday high of $50,000, capping a more than 70% rise so far this year alone. So what's fueling the rally, and what are the risks for individual investors who want to get in? Let's bring in our reporter Caitlin Ostroff for some answers. She's been writing about it. Caitlin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So even though Bitcoin is in the news quite a lot, so much about it remains a mystery to many people. So let's start with the basics. What is Bitcoin?
Yeah, so Bitcoin is what's called a cryptocurrency. So the way that currencies usually work is you have the Federal Reserve that prints dollars, or the European Central Bank that prints euros. And with Bitcoin, you know, there is no government that's in charge of deciding how much Bitcoin gets distributed. So it's basically a bit of computer code that people have assigned value to, and there's a limited number that can be essentially discovered by people who go and look for Bitcoin. And so it's basically just meant to be a digital currency that isn't controlled by anyone.
Okay, and then there's also the question of the value of the currency itself. It's not fixed. Can you just explain that?
So all currencies change in value to some degree. Like if all of a sudden there's a massive demand for the British pound, you're going to have to pay more dollars to get it. But usually it doesn't change that much. It's pretty stable. With cryptocurrencies, because there's nothing really underpinning where its valuation should be, there's no interest rates that are set by central banks, it's not constantly being used by so many people in a global market that there's like trillions in circulation at one time. And so because of that, it gets prone to these massive swings in any direction. And so even though you have days where Bitcoin can go up $5,000, you also have days where it can lose 50% of its value.
Well, Bitcoin has gained an enormous amount of value in a short amount of time. What's causing this current rally?
Yeah, so the current rally is really driven by, we've seen a lot of companies that have started putting their faith in Bitcoin and saying, we're going to start holding a little bit of it. We've seen institutional investors and asset managers say, you know, Bitcoin's been around for, you know, more than 10 years now. We think that it could actually have a use case in portfolios, and so we're going to get exposure to Bitcoin, if not buy it outright. And you've also had, you know, just trading platforms and also just general apps like Cash App say we're going to let people actually hold and use cryptocurrencies as well. And so you've seen the adoption of it kind of in a broad area of uses just become more and more common.
And now on the flip side, let's talk about the supply of Bitcoin. Is that playing a role in driving the rally as well?
The supply is finite. The only amount of Bitcoin that can ever exist is 21 million in the current design. And because of that, as it's gotten more valuable, as more people have wanted to buy Bitcoin, you've seen a lot of companies, a lot of platforms really try to step up efforts to what's called mine Bitcoin. And so they're basically just solving these complex mathematical puzzles to unlock more. But the amount of Bitcoin that's going to be released is finite, and it will slow down over time because only X amount of Bitcoin might be released in a given part of what's called the blockchain or in a given month.
Now, you mentioned earlier about Bitcoin being adopted by institutional investors and larger organizations. It's been in the news recently for a lot of reasons. For one, Tesla bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin earlier this month. How much do you think that has contributed to the recent run-up in Bitcoin's value?
A lot. So Bitcoin shot up several thousand dollars in valuation after Tesla announced that they had added $1.5 billion in Bitcoin to their corporate treasury. Tesla's not the only corporation that's added Bitcoin to their treasury, but they are by far one of the largest, if not the largest. And so Elon Musk, also being a heavy proponent of cryptocurrencies generally, but just having the kind of following that he does as CEO of Tesla, really has drawn a lot of focus to Bitcoin that's encouraged some people to start buying who maybe hadn't been involved before.
And Bitcoin is beginning to be embraced by some big players in the banking industry, like Bank of New York Mellon saying it would treat Bitcoin like any other asset. How significant is that?
It's extremely significant. You know, banks tend to be somewhat conservative in what they let clients gain exposure to and what risk they have. And so for them to be saying, you know, we're going to actually let clients start holding cryptocurrencies and start expanding their operations there is kind of a signal that we could see other banks start to move this way. And the fact that we saw asset managers moving toward holding this, and for years, many of them said, you know, we'll never wind up holding this in our books. It's a significant step for a bank to then be saying, we are going to enter this market.
You know, Caitlin, the steep rise in Bitcoin might have people thinking about the rise and then sharp decline we saw recently in stocks like GameStop. Are there any parallels in those two rallies or any issues that investors need to be aware of?
Yeah, I guess the first and foremost concern is that things that run up quickly have a tendency to correct. And so we saw this with Bitcoin in 2017, where it rallied massively, and then it crashed off the back of that. So there's some concern that, like with GameStop, you know, maybe this rally isn't wholly sustainable. But with that said, there's more people in the Bitcoin market now, and there's more adoption, so maybe that might not be the case. With the Reddit trading, a lot of that was backed by individual investors, and maybe there was always going to be kind of a cap to how long that would wind up riding out. But Bitcoin is extremely volatile, and people who are going to buy it now should be aware of that. I mean, much like GameStop, it can go up $100 in a day, or $1,000 or $2,000, and then it can crash down and lose most of its value within a few more days.
Okay, so whether it's GameStop or Bitcoin, it sounds like a game of volatility. Is this just like a straight-up gamble for someone who wants to place some bets on Bitcoin?
Many institutional investors and many individual investors will do their own research and try and decide, you know, is there a reason for this to go higher? And I think if you're deciding whether to buy something, that's ultimately what you need to be thinking of. Don't buy something just because you think that a bunch of other people are jumping on board with this and it's a good trade to make money. If you're going to enter a trade, you should have an idea of how much something is worth at fair value, how much you think, you know, fundamentals, like how many people are now adding it to their own portfolios, how many institutional investors are involved, the size of the market, the reasons it might have to continue going up outside of just kind of this hive mentality. And so that's really what is the focus of what, when we look at these assets and what's driving them, that's what we keep in mind is, you know, how much of this is really supported by the prospects for this asset.
And so with all those caveats in mind, for people who want to invest in Bitcoin, how do they go about it?
So Bitcoin has gotten even easier to start investing in if you are an individual investor and you want to start trying. Robinhood Markets offers Bitcoin and cryptocurrency trading. Cash App does as well. There's a bunch of other exchanges centered around cryptocurrencies. So it's actually fairly easy to get exposure if you want to. As with all things, only take as much risk as you can swallow in losses and just be a bit conservative. Cryptocurrencies are especially volatile. They always have been. Just because it hit 50 doesn't mean that it's going to change.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Caitlin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.